Coalition. She wailed her song, she pranced around the stage and windmilled her electric guitar. Rosetta Tharpe performed with all the charisma of a rock and roll star. But Sister Rosetta's music was gospel.
All we hear church people say, they are in this holy way. There are strange things happening every day. On that last great judgment day, when they drive them all away.
Sister Rosetta's heyday came just before the dawn of the rock era. Today, few know her name. But then biographer Gail Wald came across old footage of the late gospel queen performing. NPR's Tony Cox spoke with Wald about the contributions of Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
What blew me away was the image of someone playing the guitar with a sound and a style that I really associated with rock and roll, and not the person on the videotape, who was not young and not white and not male. And that was the initial impetus. But the book really turned into an attempt to rethink the way that we imagine rock and roll history or kind of popular music history. And Rosetta Tharpe, this kind of unknown performer or unremembered performer, seemed an important way of beginning to ask questions about how we came to think of rock and roll guitar as the possession of, for example, white men.
The thing, though, that made Rosetta Tharpe so special, I think, and you talk about it in your book, was the guitar and the way that she played that guitar. Talk about that.
What made her such an exciting guitarist was that she developed a kind of manner of playing that was exciting to look at as well as exciting to hear. In particular, she moved her body with the guitar. She did hot dog moves. She loved to show off, you know, what she could do with the instrument. And she developed a style of playing that involved a lot of finger picking. And when she moved to the electric instrument early in the 40s, she was able to kind of take advantage of that new technology. And so watching her play is as much a thrill as kind of listening to her sing or listening to her play, because I think she really knew how to speak to the people at the back of the auditorium or the back of the church.
You know, she was one of a number of black musicians who came up in the gospel tradition, but who found themselves torn between church on Sunday and the juke joint on Saturday night as a place to play. It seems to me that she sort of opted to go non-traditional and was not put off by playing in nightclubs and sort of was drawn to that.
Yeah, you know, and what distinguishes her from so many people who did have to confront that parting of paths between the secular world and the sacred world and confronted it in a painful way was that she really tried to keep one foot in Saturday night and one foot in Sunday morning at the same time. And that's what made her special, and it's also what drew, what attracted controversy to her. So she was the first performer of gospel music to bring that music to secular stages. And partly she justified that ambivalence by saying, well, you know, if I play at the Cotton Club, maybe there are some sinners in the audience who could use saving. And of course, that was a nice alibi. I think she loved an audience. I think she had ambition for her music to get out there. And of course, this is a way of making a living. And the gospel highway, as it was called, was not a place where people made a very good living. And it was a difficult life. So those gigs certainly gave her a kind of security that she couldn't have dreamed of in her early days.
I want a tall, skinny papa.
Yeah.
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 I want a tall, skinny papa. That's all I'll ever need.
I'm gonna live a life I sing about.
Mahalia Jackson would have been the complete opposite, wouldn't she, of Rosetta Tharpe?
Yeah, you know, in some ways the opposite, in some ways not. The opposite in the sense that Mahalia Jackson really constructed her career around her refusal to play in secular venues and her refusal to do what was called blues music, which kind of would include any kind of secular sounds. Rosetta Tharpe was distinct from that because she embraced the secular stage, and she was always a gospel singer who, to certain ears, especially non-Pentecostal ears, had a bluesy sound, even when she was doing the most holy music. She always had a kind of rhythmic approach to her music that people didn't necessarily associate with Mahalia, even though Mahalia could also do that kind of music. If I were to
cry. Said they done cut whiskey out and let you have a little wine, but yet most everybody done got drunk or they must be drinking moonshine. But God don't like it. I know, I'm so glad he don't like it. I know, and ain't you glad he don't like it? I know it's a scandalous and a shame. Some people get drunk every once in a while just to speak their sober mind, but as soon as
let's bring our conversation to a close around this. Rosetta Tharpe is a person whose name is not one that is generally known in the larger black community outside of those who really follow gospel music closely. Why is that?
I think, you know, for a lot of reasons. One is that when she died, she was not quite embraced by the gospel world, which had moved on. She died in 1973, and her sound was not a contemporary sound by 1973. She was considered old-fashioned, and most listeners, most black listeners and white listeners, had moved on to more contemporary, either more contemporary gospel or to soul music, or to rhythm and blues, and she was still doing Down by the Riverside. So I think it was a question of repertoire and being perceived as old-fashioned. And she was also not necessarily embraced as a secular performer, and I think that has a lot to do with already the images that were accepted of secular performers. And one of the most amazing things that I discovered when I was doing my research was a review of a performance of hers in England in 1970, compared her to a blacked-up Elvis in drag. And what was so astonishing to me was the fact that history was already being rewritten, when in fact Rosetta Tharpe had been influential to Elvis Presley. Here, Elvis Presley was the precedent and Rosetta Tharpe was the imitator. You know, the way that we remember or forget is not just about the natural passage of time, it's also a social process. And forgetting takes place through discrete, repeated acts of forgetting. And one of the things that interests me is how that process of forgetting happens to especially black women performers in the musical world, and you know, how we can actually pay attention to how forgetting happens so that maybe it won't happen as much in the future.
Gail Wald, good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I feel so bad in the morning.
In the morning.
I feel so bad in the middle of the day.
Gail Wald is a professor of English at George Washington University. She's also the author of Shout, Sister, Shout, the untold story of rock and roll trailblazer Sister Rosetta Tharpe. She spoke with NPR's Tony Cox.
Down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, laid down my heavy load, down by the riverside, study one no more.
That's our show for today, and thanks for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show, visit npr.org.